I don't know about you, but I've learned as I think I'm getting older that I am nothing but a little boy in a big body. Any of you other men relate to that? Yay! Isn't it a great club? And if you don't admit it, your wives will tell me. Oh, yeah. He's a little boy in a big body. I've got some letters that children have written. I love the things that come out of kids' mouths. The reality is that often the things that come out of kids' mouths are the stuff that still goes through our brains. We're just old enough, usually, to know not to let them come out. This little girl, Anissa, wrote this. She was asked to fill in this blank. If the shoe fits, Anissa wrote, if the shoe fits, buy it in every color. That is frightening. One little guy wrote, my mommy has brown hair and sparkly blue eyes. She's average height. She likes to wear sweatsuits because they're comfortable and not tight, and they're easy to change out of. Sam said, dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I get big, but not with so much hair all over. One little guy wrote, dear Dad, why do you have to be a vegetarian? Did Mom make you? If she did, you do not have to listen to her. She is not your boss. And then a few of these are more key to what I want to talk about this morning. Dear Mom, you are my favorite mommy ever. I'm sorry for calling you a piece of poo. And I hate you, and I'm not going to my room. I love you, Mommy. Love your daughter. Mom, I'm going to run away tomorrow at 9:30 when you and Dad are steeping. Be sure to say goodbye forever, Emily. P.S. I will be packing tonight. I'm angry at you, and I'm not talking to you today and tomorrow. P.S. All day. P.P.S. I still love you. I don't know about you, but those little letters from kids just typify, especially those last few, the struggle that we sometimes face to keep relationships healthy. Those might have been coming out of kids, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7. But any of us could have penned some of those letters when we get upset with somebody. Am I right? Life, I find, is a string of challenges to keep relationships healthy. And so often, the challenge, and especially as we know God and as we allow God's word to permeate our souls and learn what it means to grow and mature spiritually and emotionally, the challenge is to not stay this age in our relationships, but to in fact to grow into healthy maturity spiritually and emotionally. I'm old enough to remember, and I think a few of you are here, in 1963 at the end of the year, when a guy named Jack Ruby shot and killed Lee Harvey Oswald, the suspected assassin of President Kennedy. And somehow Jack Ruby, I think for our nation, was the embodiment. He became the symbol of all the anger and the hatred and the passion against the injustice that had been done against our president. And I think what Jack Ruby did spoke and shouted what a lot of people were thinking and wanting to see happen. And in our lives, as we are challenged to grow up spiritually and emotionally, the greatest picture of that growth comes in how we deal with relationships, especially when we've been assaulted or we've been attacked or we've been assassinated. And how we handle our response to those people that have hurt us. So this morning I just want to talk about three things. Three ways to be a person who thrives and does not die or be destroyed by the assaults from others. In the scripture, in Luke chapter 6, verses 27, 28, 35, and 36, Jesus says this, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Verse 35, "Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Paul, writing in Romans chapter 12, in verse 14 and then in 17 to 21, Romans 12, 14 and 17 to 21, is now writing to the church in Rome, and he is echoing Jesus' words from Luke chapter 6. And he says, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Paul was writing to a group of people who, living in Rome at that time, faced unbelievable scrutiny and at times attack. Most of the early church were Jewish people who had come to know the Messiah, Jesus. Jews were not the most favored status in Rome in those days. In fact, around that time, Emperor Claudius threw all of them out of Rome. He got sick. A lot of people got sick of the internal struggles, all the arguments about faith and doctrine, especially with this new Messiah guy coming into it, this Jesus who completely threw the Jews up into chaos and upheaval. And Paul knew that of all people in Rome, the ones who would be facing the greatest scrutiny and possibly the greatest opposition were the Jews that he was writing to. And he's saying to them, when you're assaulted and when you're being, you know, sought out and attacked, not only, I don't want you to be passive, I don't want you to resist passively and just keep a low profile. No, I'm calling you to engage actively and do good to the ones who are hurting you and mistreating you. And when the Bible talks about heaping burning coals, there is one truth that is for sure. Whenever you put a burning coal on your head, it hurts. Anybody do that recently? You know, grab one off the barbecue? The pain that this scripture refers to, and it harkens back to Proverbs chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. It simply means this: by doing good to your enemy and even providing for them when they have a need, you're going to bring pain to them, but it's the pain of a Holy Spirit-inspired pricking of their conscience. It's hurting their soul in a godly, great kind of way, because that doesn't happen to people who are assaulting others. They're not used to the people they're hurting doing good back to them. And Paul is saying the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to bring pain to their soul by the way you respond to them. And it's a really good pain. So this morning, to be a person who thrives and does not die and does not be destroyed from the assaults of others in your life, number one, love those who oppose you. Love those who oppose you. The Bible says here, bless those who persecute. Bless and do not curse. That word bless means this. It means pray a prayer of blessing down on those that have hurt you or are hurting you. That word bless comes from the Greek word eulogeo. Eulogeo means to speak favorably about somebody. And you know it's the Spirit of God when you can bless people who are cursing you, bless people and speak favorably about people who are hurting you. Only God can help you do that. Only the Spirit of God in you can give you the ability to not let your flesh rise up to do what? Strike back. Or more passively, to just separate yourself. Rachel and I have some really good friends. They're still friends. But a few years ago, there was just one too many occasions where this couple got emotionally charged and just blasted the people around them. And it spilled over onto us. And it just had happened one too many times where this anger rose up and they hurt people around them. So finally, Rachel and I sat down with them and we just said, this can't keep going on. We need you guys to get some help. And we suggested that they just take a break for some months, go and get some counseling. And then we would get back together and kind of rehearse what the next steps were. To their honor, to their credit, they went away. They got counseling over some months. When they came back, this is what they said. They said, you know, we've learned a lot about ourselves. But really, at the end of the day, we've learned we are who we are, and we aren't going to change. They removed themselves from relationship with us. And then we learned that they were saying really, really nasty, unkind things, particularly about me. My wife, she's lovely. There's nothing that they're going to say. But they were saying some really unkind things to me. And someone came back to me firsthand and said, I said to this person, have you seen David lately? And kind of what's going on? And he says, if I see David Gallagher, I will kill him. That's great. For the first number of months, it was several months, I found myself getting defensive when their names came up and when I heard the stuff they were saying to other people. And I took it on myself to start letting people know the whole truth and feeling like I needed to do that to defend myself. But guess what? Spirit of God really convicted me after a few months of that. And I'm sorry it took so long. But the Lord said to me, you will now begin to bless them and not curse them any longer. You will live my word out as it has to do with them, and you will speak and pray blessings over them by not letting nothing but favorable things come out of your mouth. And I've been practicing that now for 2 or 3 years. And when their names come up, I talk, and this is true. They bless and help a lot of people. And they were a blessing to Rachel and me for many years. Blessing. Just yesterday, I was with somebody, and this person was recounting to me some people that had hurt them. And there's just a lot of pain coming out of this person's mouth. And finally I said, I want you to ask God to help you do something. And that is, when the thought comes, even before it leaves your mouth, turn it into a prayer for them and for yourself. And start to not let it even come out of your mouth, but here and here, in the quietness of your own mind and your own heart, pray for those who have assaulted you and hurt you, and ask God to help you bless them. So number one, love those who oppose you. Number two, turn cursing into blessing. So the first thing, loving those who oppose you, is an act of prayer. That blessing is a spiritual act inside your mind and your heart that's before God. Number two, turn cursing into blessing is more active. It's not staying passive. It's actually, when you're being hurt or assaulted, you engage to do something physically to bless them. How many of you remember that Pastor Steve came to Kenya in September? Yeah? And he spoke. He was one of our speakers at a church leader conference. Do you want to hear a backstory? Backstories are great. Well, I worked with a group of pastors in our city for about 4 months before Steve and the other pastors arrived. And we were planning and busy getting everything ready. And about 3 weeks, 4 weeks before Steve and the other pastors arrived, we had flyers printed, posters. And in Kenya, you mobilize small groups of people to just go litter the city with these posters. Before I turned the posters over to the pastors, I just had a little check in my heart. And I intentionally withheld half of the posters. So I gave them 10,000 to distribute. Now, mind you, I had told these pastors, there's about 14 of them who worked on our little team to get ready for the conference. I had told them, when we have the successful conference, I want to bless you. So I will give all of you, for your hard work, an honorarium when the conference is over and it's been a success. I'd also tried to bless them through giving them a little travel stipend to just travel to our meetings. So every time they came to a meeting, I gave them a small sum of money. In a country where 70% unemployment, and even in their churches, people have no money, it's hard to survive, and I wanted to bless them. So that's the backdrop. Now, 3-4 weeks out, I give them half the flyers to distribute. I'm told that everything's done, all the posters are out. 10 days before Steve arrived and the conference started, I started making calls to all of the other pastors in the city who should have gotten the flyers. And one after another says, I haven't seen anything. Nothing's come to my church. I mean, one after another. Until I discovered that no flyers had been distributed. I'm grateful that I held on to 10,000 flyers. And we scrambled those 10 days to get those other 10,000 out. I learned at the conference, another pastor came up to me and said, you know, I just wanted to let you know, I learned that few of the pastors sat on those flyers intentionally. And they tried to sabotage the conference. My blood began to boil just a little bit. And then I had to start thinking about, well, I told them that if we had a successful conference, I was going to bless them with a little honorarium. And I think that, you know, under the form of good stewardship, I don't think we're going to do that now. We don't need to spend that money unnecessarily, do we? And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? You will bless those who have cursed you. You will give your enemy something to eat. And I don't maybe need to tell you this. It's really hard when the enemy is what you believe is a godly Christian man or woman. That's hard. So it took all of God's help and strength in me when that conference was about to end to sit and handwrite thank you notes to those rascals. And you know what else the Lord said to me? David, they're very, very naughty little boys. But I love my naughty little boys. And at the end of the day, I am that naughty little boy. It may manifest in entirely different ways. And I know it sounds crazy, but I am them. And my daddy in heaven blesses me even when I deserve cursing. Rachel and I have a situation in Kenya right now that's manifested in the last few months. We thought we were buying a little tiny piece of land, 3 acres in Kenya, and we bought it in 2010. We just got to court in November of this last year to finalize the whole deal after 5 years. And all the family that, whose land we were buying showed up in court. Now get this, in Kenya, If you own a piece of property, you can't just sell it. If you have children, they have to be in agreement with you. If you have grandchildren, they have to be in agreement. You have to have the whole family, everybody in agreement, before you can sell a piece of property. Wouldn't you love that? I hear the nervous laughter. You're all thinking, ooh, I could have never done that. So we get to court. The judge asks the family members who are there, any objection? One sister. I object. 5 years waiting for this day. Turns out her older brother was the executor of their dad's estate, and our attorney, his office, his manager, told the oldest brother that he could sign all his siblings' consents on the forms. No. So now this sister sees a loophole, and she can shut the whole thing down, which she's done. And now she and the family have come back and said, yeah, we'll still sell you the land, but it's going to be 3 times as much money. The attorney's not taking responsibility. Rachel and I are caught in the middle. And it's completely unjust and unfair. And it's not our doing. And let me just say this. If you think that Rachel and I could go to court in Kenya and have it turn out in our favor. Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Glenn, for that nod. No. And everything in me wants to cry, unjust. This is not right. We have done nothing wrong. And yet we're the ones who are going to pay the price for it. I mean, you just get worked up. And you know what Jesus has been saying? Pay them what they're asking. Bless them, bless them, bless them, bless them. Guys, tough for my flesh. Anybody else have a struggle with that, if it was you? Huh? Bless them. Turn cursing into blessing. Lastly, number 3. To be a person who thrives and does not die from assaults by others. Be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Andrew Carnegie, if not the wealthiest man in the United States at the turn of the last century, 18th and 19th centuries, was probably in the top 2 or 3. When he died, he left $365 million. That was a lot of money in 1895 or whenever he died. But he left it to public charities. The guy was a major philanthropist. One of his relatives, he only left $1 million to. And all that relative could do, and that was probably back then, 5 or 10 million. All that guy could do was curse his relative, Mr. Carnegie, for giving so much away to public charities. There's a criminal defense attorney many decades ago, Samuel Leibowitz, and a judge. During his time as a criminal defense attorney, he saved 78 men from the electric chair. Not one of them ever thanked him. Being kind to the ungrateful and wicked. There's two people kind of mentioned there in those two words, ungrateful and wicked. Ungrateful is people who are close enough to you that you have a relationship with that they can actually be ungrateful. Could be husband or wife. Could be children, could be coworkers, a boss, an employee. But those people who are ungrateful are close enough to you that when they should extend some kind of appreciation or gratitude to you, they don't. And yet, we really want them to do that. The wicked are quite possibly people you don't even know. You have no relationship with them. You don't know them at all. But they've done something really evil to hurt you or to assault you in some way. And the word of the Lord is, be kind. I don't know about you, that is hard for me. That is hard for me to be kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Anybody else have that struggle besides me? Yeah, thank you for that one hand. I know we all do. But that is what God says we're to do. And I tell you, it cannot happen without the Holy Spirit of God coming alive in you and me here and here to allow us to take that step toward kindness to people who we don't want to be kind to. We've got a couple guys in our village, subcontractors, who do work for us in the Open Arms Village. Rachel and I learned some months ago that the two of them are just going at it. Can't stand each other. We were meeting with one of them, and these are both Christians. We were meeting with one of them, and it came up about their strained relationship, and he just said, hey, this other guy, he lies about me. He spreads false rumors about me. He accuses me of lying and stealing. And I've just had it with him. That is not who I am, and those are lies. And then he said this, he is my enemy, and I will have nothing to do with him. And then, of course, I pop up and say, is that what Jesus would do? It got really quiet. And of course it got quiet because that's not what Jesus would do. Men and women, we all struggle, even as God-fearing, Jesus-following Christians, we struggle to know what it means to love our enemies. And we don't even want to count family members as enemies, and yet by the way we treat family members sometimes, they might as well be our enemies. Because we cut each other off, we stop communication, we've been hurt, we've been assaulted, and one way or another we're going to punish back by either being passive and going quiet and just blocking the relationship, or we'll be a little more assertive and do really awful things. And I'm here to say this morning, that is not okay. We all face that challenge of staying this tall. We all face the challenge, no matter our chronological age or how big this physical body gets, we all are challenged to remain this tall. Spiritually and emotionally, by how we conduct ourselves. And Jesus' heart for you, Daddy God's heart for you, is that you would grow spiritually and emotionally and what? Become mature Christians. Part of maturity as a follower of Jesus is to learn how to love your enemies, to learn how to bless those who curse you, how to be kind to the ungrateful and the wicked, especially when it's people in your own family. Amen. Let's pray. If you're here this morning and you just say, David, I know that God is calling me to a place of maturity that I need his help to arrive at. I know there are people in my life that I would rather just shut out completely. People who have hurt me, who have assaulted me, and I don't know how to engage with them, but I want to believe that God can show me how. I want to believe that God will take me by his Spirit to a place of maturity where I can love those people and be kind to them. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to do a simple thing, and that is to just look at me. And make sure that I see you, and make sure I acknowledge you. There is something powerful when we actually take a step, and I'm just asking you to take a real simple step to look at me and to acknowledge before God and me as a human being who can look you in the eye that you're believing God to do something new in your heart and your mind to bring you to a place of spiritual and emotional maturity. So yeah, just look at me and let me just go around and agree with you. Make sure that I see you. Yeah, thank you. Yep. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Thanks. Yeah, thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yep, thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Yep, thanks. All over. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and just if you want to just slip your hand up so that I make sure I see you. Yeah, thanks. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank. God, thank you so much, Lord, for these who've just said, you know, Lord, we are just all kids that need their dad. And we don't know how to do this stuff, Father, without you. We need our daddy to talk to us about what it means to grow up. Because God, the things you ask us to do are tough. Our flesh wants to stay as 5 or 6 year olds and just punish people and assault them and hurt them because they've hurt us. But God, we know in your kingdom that's not okay. Spirit of God, we can't do it without you. Would you teach us, Holy Spirit? You've said you'd teach us. You've said you'd come alongside of us. Would you teach us how to love people that are ungrateful and wicked? Would you teach us how to bless people that have cursed us? Thank you for doing that, Holy Spirit, today. Thank you for starting a new work in all these who've acknowledged their need for you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for instructing everybody here, teaching them what you want them to do to bless the people around them, to know how to do that, and Lord, to set them free and to grow them up in you. Thanks for our time this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.